And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus 107 in the afternoon on this Friday, first day of November. Put October in the books. Drier than normal month and warmer than normal. I don't think that shocks anybody at all. I guess it helped turn your mic on.
Now I can have a mic. Okay. I don't know if it shocks by any means, but here we are. And we're cloudy and we're kind of overcast. I'm getting pictures from other states where they're seeing sunshine and they're very happy they got a little rain.
Right. And we do have some rain on radar now. And it is stretching, from about Valley City through about Leonard and down southeastward from there towards Wahpeton, moving northeastward. Now, some of this may mix in with a little bit of wet snow. In fact, the first snow of the season is falling out to our west of Jamestown on 94, between about 20 miles west of Jamestown all the way through Bismarck. 94 is showing slushy road conditions. So some wet snow out there with temperatures right around that freezing mark.
Here we go. Start getting those winter survival kits back in the pickup. Or is it going to be 60 next week?
Oh, it won't be 60 next week, but we'll be back in the 50s.
So that's going to be fine, because I haven't dug my coveralls yet to pack
up. No, you know what? And I'll tell you what, this system coming through today, not going to give us much in the way of precip, about a tenth of an inch, some spots a little bit more. But again, don't be surprised. If you're going west on 94, west of Jamestown out towards Bismarck, just be prepared for a few scattered slippery spots out there. Do I think we'll get any snow here in the FM area? I think we'll see a few flakes probably mix in. But other than that, it should be just mainly a rain event. And that rain should spread into the area here within the next half hour. And then we're looking at that continuing through probably late afternoon, early evening hours before winding down. We've reached our high in the low 40s. Once that rain starts, we'll actually see temperatures drop into the upper 30s with southeast winds 10 to 25. So kind of a brisk, raw evening if you're heading out on
right.
this Friday night.
Well, it's, again, you might need a sleigh jacket, but you don't have to put on your snowsuit
yet. Yeah, we're not looking at below zero wind chills. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Rain shuts off 30 for a low with light and variable winds. And your pick day of the weekend is Saturday. Partly cloudy. Southeast winds on the light side. Highs right around 50 degrees. So great day to rake the leaves if you have yard work to get done or if you want to go see Bridget out at tailgating. She'd be more than happy to have you out there.
I already got my menu planned.
There you go. So great day for that. And then Sunday, clouds and rain. And this looks like a pretty widespread rain, too. So that's great news. It will be breezy, southeast 15 to 25, highs in the low 50s. Rain continues Sunday night, shuts off Monday with highs early next week, right around the 50-degree mark. Maybe a few mid-40s on Wednesday before warming back up by the end of next week. Some much-needed rain over the weekend. Sunday, and then looks like probably about a half inch to three-quarters of an inch across much of the area.
We'll take it. I don't have a problem with that.
That's great news. Now, the only bad thing is out west, where drought conditions are worse.
They're missing it, aren't they?
They're not going to get a lot. Yeah. Okay. They'll get about two-tenths of an inch, if that.
They'll take everything they can get. There's no doubt. Even if you just increase the humidity somewhat, I think that would be at least a positive as well.
Yeah, there's just not much. Boy, I'll tell you, the storm track that's setting up so far this fall, the main storm track appears to be to our south, which would put it through the central plains and just east of here. We'll see if that holds, but typically once you get, we call it the anchor trough setting up, that's usually where it's going to hold through the winter and into spring. So that would leave the western part of the state continuing in drought conditions through the fall and more than likely winter and into spring for next year.
Low snowfall.
Very low.
And here's the thing. This is not the first time.
Nope.
This is not the first time that we have had dry, drought-like conditions. Because if you tell me the average, and I make fun of you because it's only on a 30-year average, I know better. I know that we've had those conditions happen before. It's just been a longer time since we have.
Right. And, you know, I mean, just fingers crossed that these storms coming through here the next couple of weeks, because, again, the next 3 weeks will tell the tale for what the rest of the winter holds, according to the LRC, whether, you know, if these storms all miss us to the south, then we're in a little trouble come spring. I mean, I'm sure nobody's going to complain about not a lot of snow over the winter, but we need it. And there's still no Arctic air in sight. It's stuck way north and just showing no signs of coming down anytime soon. So
Okay, hoping for the best here.
I know. Okay. Yep, we need a little precip. At least we're getting a little bit today, about a tenth of an inch, like I said, from today's, and then about another half inch to three quarters for Sunday night. So that's good news there. Other than that, mild-looking forecast, and like I said, I don't think many people are really complaining a whole heck of a lot.
Not a lot. I mean, everybody realizes it would be nice to have some rain, but we're just glad to not be fighting snow right now. Right. I did see some pictures from over in Minnesota yesterday, and what a change. I had been in Rochester on Monday, and it looks so different.
Right.
When they were showing pictures of all the snow over there.
How was your Halloween? Did you get any trick-or-treaters?
I did. I probably had about 30 kids last night.
Really?
Yeah. It was good fun.
You know, and it was nice out, so I think that gave the trick-or-treaters. There was more out yesterday than I saw the last few years.
True. There were some kids that were warm with their, and you could still see their costumes, and there's some kids that were cold and I could see their costumes, but that was up to them. But they looked like they were having quite a haul. So
right.
I have seen some headlines saying, you know, with the price of chocolate, that there was less candy being given out. Apparently not in my town, because those kids had pillowcases full of candy. It was impressive.
What was the best costume from last night?
Boy, that's hard to say. I think I had a whole squad of cheerleaders at one point. I saw everything from light up masks to good face painting. It was just a variety. Yeah.
Mine was a marionette. She was 11-year-old girl.
Ah.
And had the
strings?
The wooden part out of her kind of a headset.
Yep.
And great face paint. She looked great.
I bet she did an excellent job.
Yeah, it was a lot of great. It's fun to see the kids out and a lot of older kids, which that's fantastic, you know, keeps them out of trouble.
They were having a grand old time, and I don't doubt it. You know, small towns do a lot of things. I know we're not the only one where, you know, say your fire hall is open and the kids are coming in for hot dogs and hot chocolate to warm up, and mom and dad appreciate that too.
Awesome. Yeah. See, we never used did you use pillowcases?
We didn't. Yeah. We just used ice cream pails.
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, we had a lot of ice cream pails in my house, so we just use those. I've seen kids with pillowcases, and just it's wild some of the stuff that they're using.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. Well, we've got a special guest coming up today.
True. We're going to have Chris, I think I say his last name, Hubrisch, and he is with Otter Berry Farm over in Pearl, Minnesota. They do a lot of things over there. They not only sell fresh strawberries off their farm, but they have bare root dormant plants that they sell. And we were just curious what's happening over at their business, especially now after the season is essentially over. So we'll have lots of questions for him. We do want to also let you know that for those of you who are wondering about our podcast friends, one of them is Gary Lisak. Gary does a lot with us with the weather. And yesterday he was on Shark Farmer's radio show. Shark Farmer has been on air with us before as well. I'm good friends with Rob and Emily. But I thought it was great that Gary got a chance to talk directly to a bunch of farmers through that radio show.
I learned something new. I mean, I've known Gary for years.
Yeah.
And I never knew how he got his start in TV. And to find out, you'll have to listen to the Shark Farmer podcast. Yep. I know him, and I didn't even know this. So it was funny. I'm like, no kidding. That's how you got your start in TV.
Well, it's good fun to know all the things that happen in everybody's background. So if you want to listen to that, please go ahead and do so. And then also, we have a super fan listener that we want to give a little holler out to today.
We do. Let's
look for the right button.
I'm trying to find it here, and let's see.
Not that one.
That was happy birthday.
That's happy birthday to Steve Bellow. He is a listener who follows us pretty much every day, and he's even come on to quiz us.
He has,
which has been great.
So he's celebrating a birthday over the weekend. So rock on, buddy, and have a rockin' good weekend.
I actually am looking to do that again. I need another super fan day with one of ours to ask them to come and join us.
Perfect.
And ask questions and so forth.
Excellent. So, Chris, she will be up next. And I've got some... Chris, sorry.
I just got a Chris on my list. Whoops.
I've got some questions for her, too, about something I'm looking to purchase. And hopefully they've got some out on their farm. That'd be awesome. So
they don't have a lake place.
No, I know. So we'll be back with Chris. If you have any questions for our guest, be sure to call us 701-293-9000. That's 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to WDAY. So glad that you're here with us for Weather and Ag in Focus. We always find something to focus on. And today, it's sort of all about berries. And we have joining us today, Chris. And Chris, help me if I get this wrong. Is it Hubusch? Did I say
it's
that
right? Hipsch.
Hipsch.
Hipsch. Yes, German, I guess.
And very German at that. I'm going to have to work on that one. All right. So you folks are over at Perham, but you've got a very interesting business. Tell us a little more. I got that one ending.
I like that. That's very good. Very good. Yeah, we grow strawberries. We have a strawberry farm, primarily U-pick, a little bit of pre-pick. And then we also do a corn maze and pumpkin patch in the fall. And we're just east of Perham a little ways. We technically have a New York Mills address, but we're right in between Perham and New York Mills, a few miles off of Highway 10.
All right, let's get started with a ton of questions. And I want to start with the strawberries, if we can. Mm. So you've had a U-pick business for a while. And when I say a while, how long is that?
So our first strawberries we planted were in 2016. And strawberries are a perennial, so you don't pick off of them for commercial purposes like we do until the following year. So we planted in 2016, and our doors were open to the public for U-pick June of 2017. And then the corn maze came about the fall of 2018.
That's a leap of faith. I mean, there's a number of years there with nothing in it. How nervous were you? How much did you have to replant due to winter kill? Did things like that happen?
Yeah, we did a ton of research before we got into the strawberries. My husband and I both grew up farming. I grew up on a dairy farm in Ohio, and he grew up right down the street from where our farm is. And where we are currently is like the original homestead for the Hipsch family here. And so, yeah, we did a bunch of research, and we wanted to kind of do something a little bit different than just farming with our family, his family. And we talked to some strawberry farms that were no longer in the area and asked them why they had closed. And many of them, it was just simply they didn't want to sell the farm, but they were ready to retire and their kids didn't want to strawberry farm. We also talked to universities over on the East Coast and California. And we did a bunch of research before we decided to get into this perennial thing. But even then, it's not like crop farming. We were doing traditional corn and kidney beans, and perennials are a completely different animal.
literally. Because the first thing that comes to mind is, as a home gardener, I have a season-long or ever-bearing strawberries in my yard. But I bet they're not the same varieties or cultivars of what you're raising in that patch, correct?
Correct. So we do have a few. The first year we did plant some everbearing because we were thinking that it would be great to have a longer season. Traditionally, our U-pick season is only about 20 days. And so we were thinking to help spread the risk weather-wise, because summer weather can be pretty volatile around here. Having some of those everbearings would help. And we did plant a few of those, maybe 1,000 that first year, maybe 500, I can't remember. But what turned out is most people know that strawberries are ready in June and July, and they don't think about the fact that in August you could still get strawberries. So your customer base tails off quite a bit, and we were very brand new, so nobody really even knew we were here yet. And so we just kind of decided to stick with the summer varieties. Right now, I think I have 7 or 8 in the ground. We've kind of honed in on 4 that we really like for our farm and our soil type. And then every year we usually try 1 or 2 varieties, pick off of them the next year and kind of see how they do.
And Chris, for any city folks like myself who didn't grow up on the farm, and, you know, we basically get our strawberries out of the supermarket. What differentiates your strawberries from what the customer is buying in the store?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So store-bought strawberries, their genetics are so that they can be put in a clamshell, the cute little plastic container, and shipped across the country and still look pretty and be nice after about a week. You know, they are in semi-trucks or they come from Mexico or wherever, California, Florida. Our strawberries, we have, I would say, a better flavor profile. And so they're extremely sweet. They're extremely juicy. When you bite into one, juice tends to run down your face. You're not going to get a crunch. Yeah, you're not going to get a crunch from them or anything like that. They're going to be not soft, but firm, but not hard like an apple. And they are not going to last, like if you put them in a container like that and they get jostled around, they'll get bruised. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely for a right here and now type of market, not to be really shipped.
Gotcha. Now that's got me. Now I'm hungry.
Well, of course. I'm going to get groceries after this.
Strawberry shortcake with some whipped cream on
top. If I'm going to buy groceries, I'm going to keep a much closer eye on what I'm buying after this discussion. There's no doubt. So what about disease tolerance? Because sometimes in perennials, especially strawberries, low-lying to the ground, you have that potential for things like powdery mildews, et cetera. Do you see that being a problem up here, or does winter help you stave off some disease?
So that's another awesome question. We do see a little bit, not much, because over here by Perm, it's extremely sandy. We are in sugar sand, and so strawberries thrive. They're kind of like beans where they don't want their feet wet, and we have extremely well-drained soil. We hold maybe, you know, an inch of moisture at best, and then it's gone. We never have any puddles, so that really is very beneficial to us. And when we were doing research about planting strawberries, that was one of the factors, was that our soil type is fantastic for them. We don't really have to worry about too much disease that way. And then like this summer, it didn't rain at all. And so in like the last month, 2 months, so we just turned the water on. We do have, we have to have hand line irrigation, so that we can prevent, like a late frost in the spring from killing them. So we'll water them all night, but then, you know, we're completely irrigated, so we can just turn the water on if the rain decides to quit. So
I have a quick irrigation question. Are you doing like a drip line irrigation, or are you overhead? And does that make a difference for your berries?
Yes, we do a little bit of both. So we've experimented with both. We have the hand lines that run along the ground instead of a center pivot. And the only reason we have those, because across our driveway, our corn maze is under a center pivot. The only reason we use a hand line is because, like, the end of May, if we get a late cold night and our flowers are blooming, or not even blooming, if they're almost ready to open, they can't freeze or you'll lose your entire crop. And that flower only makes one strawberry per summer. So if we get a late frost, it will take out our entire crop. And so we need to be able to water the entire field all at once, all night long.
Ooh.
And so there's a temperature issues and different things and the humidity and barometer. But so we use hand lines because then we can just turn the water on and then monitor it. And the entire field's getting watered constantly until the sun comes up and the ice thaws off of the plants. We do have some drip tape sections. Strawberries, drip tape is nice because then you're not getting wet leaves when you're watering overhead.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, for us, we are pretty dry here. So, and we need that overhead irrigation again in the spring for that one night, you know, maybe every 3 or 4 years that we would have to do it. But if you don't, you don't have a crop that year.
That's huge. That frost. I've watched vineyards in California where they have literally windmills to move air to keep that from frost damage. So all of this is wildly useful information for those of us who want to come pick from you or have our own. But we have a lot more questions about the corn maze. Dean just saw the picture of it from the overhead view, and so we need to ask some things about that as well. And we will do that when we return. And again, we are talking with Chris. She is from the Otterberry Farm, and I just have to always slow down when I say that because I figure it's going to come out in a really big heap of word salad if I don't. So we'll be right back. Oh, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. And I just realized, for those of you watching on the live stream, I did actually sit down. I normally don't sit when I'm in the studio. I sat down, and like you can only see the top half of my head. So thanks for adjusting that, Addison.
Got me scrambling in here.
Much appreciated.
It sucks being short.
I know, and I don't normally sit down today. I'm just lazy, essentially. So joining us today is Chris. I'm going to try it again. Hipshish.
Like hips. Your hips and then shh.
Shh. Oh, hips. Okay.
Yeah.
Hips. Got it.
Does that help?
Yeah. It helps.
I don't know. That's what it's family.
That's a great way to remember
it. Say it. I don't know.
Well, like you said, you know, I just married into this thing, so I just got to say it.
Right. I don't know. Right. You just roll with it, right?
So, Chris, besides the you pick, well, first of all, I have one question about that. On average, how much do people pick when they're out there? Is this like a grandma leaves with an ice cream bucket sort of situation?
Oh, yeah. It kind of varies wildly, actually. We do by the pound, so you don't have to pick a full bucket. So you can pick as much or as little as you want. And we have folks that live close by that like fresh strawberries every couple of days. So they'll just come pick a few.
Oh.
And then we have quite a few people that come from the Fargo-Moorhead area, Grand Forks, down south. There aren't a lot of strawberry farms around anymore.
Right.
So we get people that travel a long ways and they will pick, 10 or 15 or 20 buckets and they make jam and they do all the things like. It's really cool. That was something we didn't expect when we, because we're crop farmers, we both grew up farming and most of the time you don't see your, consumer, you're just selling a commodity and then it's gone. Right. So when we got into the strawberry thing, we didn't realize because we're selling directly to the customer and when they come out and pick, the experience and we're creating an experience in these lifelong memories and generational, grandma and grandpa come out and mom and dad and the kids and
that's cool.
Nobody's on their cell phones. Nobody's on the internet. Like they're taking pictures and, and they just remember we came last year and we did these things and that's the best part of it. Honestly, it's a lot of work. I mean, there aren't many of us around and it is a lot of work and it's kind of a dicey thing to grow, but to see these folks come out and just have these awesome experiences, I don't know. It's super cool. So, yeah.
And Chris, when's your, for those that are interested, obviously it's a little too late in the season right now. What's your last day? Roughly your last week that people could come up and pick?
We just missed it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, for the corn maze, you just missed it. We just closed up on Sunday for the corn maze. But for strawberries, we are mid-June to the first part of July. So I usually tell people, think around Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 20 days max. Maybe, I don't know that we've ever been picking for 30 days. It's usually about 20 to 23. So normally I tell people around Father's Day, think about strawberry picking. And then we try our best to be open through the 4th of July. It's really weather dependent
right.
and how the strawberries hold and how they're ripening. And there's a ton of factors that go into it. And then our corn maze is weekends in September and October. So we just finished up the corn maze and pumpkin patch.
So when people are buying buckets of these now, and like you said earlier, the shelf life on these, it's much shorter than store-bought. Can you take that? Can you take buckets? Like if you're coming out and taking buckets home,
Buckets of berries.
Can you freeze them? And will they have the same taste when you thaw them out as when you freshly pick them?
Yeah, it's amazing. So we provide buckets for people or they can bring in their own. What they do is we'll give them a bucket. We send them out with one of our employees. They show them exactly where to pick, how to pick, all that kind of stuff. Make sure you eat a bunch while you're in the field because we're never going to pick all of them. It's part of that, like Pringles, you can't just have one
right.
or whatever.
Right.
And if you eat a whole bucket of strawberries today, you're not going to do it again. So I really don't care. You're not going to feel great tomorrow eating 6 pounds of strawberries.
But, concession stand
so
tell, sells Rolaids.
Yeah. I want you to eat them and try them. So we put them in nice cardboard flats to take them home in. They're kind of a, I'm not sure the dimensions on them. They're like a rectangle. They're not very deep. That way they're not getting crushed, the berries underneath. And as long as you keep them in your refrigerator at the bottom, we tell people to put like a paper towel over them so any excess moisture kind of gets absorbed by that paper towel. They should last in your fridge up to 5 days. Some people have a little better luck, if they're better at picking. We tell folks never to wash them until you're ready to use them or eat them. Strawberries have kind of a natural protective coating on them. So as soon as you wash them, that berry is going to start to deteriorate.
Oh.
The same as if you cut the top off. As soon as you cut the top off, I always tell folks and little kids, it's like opening a can of pop. As soon as you do that, the fizz starts to come out and tomorrow it's going to be flat, right?
Yep.
So strawberries kind of the same. And then freezing, easy to do. You just cut the tops off. We tell folks to freeze them whole on a cookie sheet. Then that way they're like little ice cubes. When you put them in a, like a gallon bag to, once they're frozen, you can put them in that gallon bag and then stick them in your freezer. They'll be good, you know, next year if they last that long, because you're going to want to eat them. But when you open up that frozen bag of strawberries, like we do, strawberry lemonade and slushies from our own grown strawberries in the fall at our corn maze. And, you know, when I'm opening these strawberries and they're thawing, like it smells, the odor, it's so strong, the strawberry flavor. And like, it's, it smells like summer. Like, it's amazing. So if you have one of those, I tell folks also to, you know, a quick tip, take a couple bags of strawberries if you have them when you freeze them and put them like in the bottom of your deep freeze so that you don't see them right away. And you'll find them in like, you know, April. And you'll be so excited because you didn't eat them all up in, you know, November and December. And you're like, what? This treasure, just like rhubarb, you know, like if you freeze it and you forgot you had a little bit in there, you're like, jackpot, you know?
Like, it is. It's like finding the prize in the Cracker Jack box. That is an excellent analogy right there. Put
so
it in the freezer.
That's the tip I usually tell people, like hide one or two little things of it in the freezer in the back so you'll find it later when we've gone through this terribly long, miserable winter, and it'll be like a ray of sunshine for you.
I love that idea. That's great.
Now, you were talking about, and Addison, if you can throw up the picture of the corn maze, this is absolutely amazing. How many, first off, how many acres is that on, and how long does it take? And I'm guessing that's done by GPS.
They still haven't found all the people out of it.
Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah. The people that we find the next day help weed the strawberry patch. Yeah. So the corn maze itself, the corn field is a little over 6 acres. So it looks kind of bigger aerial view from the drone picture, but it's only about 6.5, not quite 7 acres. So we plant a little bit late. Usually we wait till June to plant. And the reason we do that is that we use a silage variety. Rob Seco has given us seed every year, and it's amazing stuff. And we plant a little bit late, and we want the corn to stay green as long as possible, so it's nice and leafy. We don't really, I mean, we harvest the corn, but we don't really care how many bushels we get per acre because our main focus is not to be able to see through it. It still yields really well, even though we plant late. But we want it to be as green as possible for as long as possible. And then we plant it both directions. We run the planter north and south and east and west. So we get that cross pattern in there, and it'll keep it nice and thick. And then usually, when we're picking strawberries, so right before July 1st, maybe the end of June, when it's probably 4 inches tall, we take a zero turn lawnmower out there. My husband built like a desk and a canopy to go over it, and we stick the laptop on it. So it's completely dark because, you know, like when it's sunny, you can't see your phone screen and you need to be able to see the computer screen. So it's completely dark. And what happens is, like with the lines on this maze, that's the map that we have on the computer. We have a little GPS beacon that goes on top of the lawnmower. And then it's basically like your car GPS. You follow the line. Mm-hmm. So you have no idea where you're driving because you can't see. But it doesn't matter anyways because you're following the line kind of like old school Pac-Man, if anybody's from that generation. Right. Yes. I am. I tell kids that when they come out for field trips.
They're
and
like,
they
what?
Look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, what's a Pac-Man? I'm like, okay, I'm old. Never mind. but so, yeah, it usually takes, depending on how intricate the design is, it takes like maybe 2 days to do it. And then once you cut it once, corn, you know, wants to keep coming back. So we usually mow it about 4 times before we open for this fall season, just to make sure that the path is nice. There's no weeds in it in the last mow. But yeah, this photo is our 2019 Minnesota Nice corn maze. So we did the outline of the state and then wrote nice in there. And that was a really fun one to do. And then since we are so sandy here, we are irrigated. So our field is irrigated. So I don't know if you can see in that photo. I don't think in 2019 we had to spin the irrigator that much. But sometimes you'll see the circle marks from the tire tracks from that irrigator. But yeah, that was this Otter Tail County. Yeah, this is I think last year's Otter Tail County sponsored the corn maze, the Find Your Inner Otter. And so he was super fun to digitize and stick in the field. And yeah, that one turned out
that's
really
awesome.
Cool too.
Chris, do you harvest the corn when you're done with all of it? Yeah.
Okay. We do. And actually, my father-in-law down the street that has the corn and kidney beans, the harvest was great this year. And I mean, it was so dry, but it was great. So they finished up on, what's today? Friday. I think they finished on like Tuesday, and we still have 20 big signs out in the middle of the field. Oh. And he wanted to come over and combine it because they're done and they want to button up and put everything away for the winter. And I was like, oh man, I still got to run out there and get all these posts out of the field.
Yes.
Which isn't an easy task because you can't just walk out to it, right?
Right.
You have to
no.
the cornmeal to get to the post, and then you got to carry the post back out through the cornfield.
Oh so man.
I got some more work to do to put stuff away, and then hopefully the weather, and we need rain more than anything, but hopefully the weather holds a little bit and I can get those posts out. We can get that last 6 acres combine.
Corn maze cardio is what's going on over
right.
there.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so is it a specific software program that you're using to do the corn maze, or do you somehow freehand that and then figure out how to map it?
Yeah, so that's another good question. We actually use a company that does specifically corn mazes and sets up the GPS and then games and activities and stuff. My husband's pretty handy, and like a lot of farmers, and he wanted to do that himself, and he's pretty tech savvy too. And I kind of, when we went into this, I said the first year, I'm like, no, let's just have a company. We'll give them our photo and they can digitize it and do everything. And then we'll move from there. And I'm so glad we did. We probably would have been able to do it, but it's just one less thing that you have to worry about.
Sure.
And if something goes wrong with the internet or the mapping or whatever, it's just a phone call instead of, you know, us trying to troubleshoot it like we do all of our other DIY projects around here. So yeah, we use a company that does it for us.
Man, we have so many things that you guys can talk about with us, Chris, and we haven't even gotten to your new business called Fruits, which is the mm-hmm. bare root berries plant. What's going on? Can I be buying more strawberry plants from you?
Absolutely. With Fruits, that is a company we purchased. Ag Resource, which was out of Detroit Lakes, David and Teresa Berkey, wonderful folks, have been selling bare root plants and like small garden equipment type stuff, drip tape irrigation, that kind of thing, for many years now. They were ready to retire, and they were who we sourced all of our strawberry plants from. And so they were ready to retire and get out of that plant part of the business last year. And so we took it over. And the great thing about it is we are able to source these bare root plants. We do asparagus, rhubarb, strawberries. What else is on there? There's a couple other bare root things.
Raspberries.
And yeah. And then we do potted blueberries. We might add a few things this year. Last year was our first year. But we're able to source them direct from nurseries in Nova Scotia and on the East Coast. And we have a walk-in warehouse cooler in Perham. And we get the plants. You can order them starting in January, usually. Large commercial growers, we're working on updating the website right now for this coming season. But normally around Thanksgiving, large commercial growers start getting in on those. And then we take orders through about April, and then we are able to get semi truckloads, and they stay cold and dormant. Mm-hmm. So the supply chain isn't broken. That cold chain isn't broken at all, which is extremely important with bare root plants and their survivability. A lot of times when you order from catalogs and different places on the internet, you know, you can get these plants anywhere basically, but they'll send them to you when they're ready. You know, you'll click on their website and they'll say pick a date. But a lot of times as soon as they're ready in Texas or whatever state they're in, they send them to you in Minnesota or North Dakota. We might still have 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And they've been sitting in the mail for maybe 7 or 8 days, right? which isn't great. So you probably have a 50% surviving rate on those plants. I mean, I know I've bought plants before online and half of them didn't grow. And I thought, well, I'm just terrible at growing stuff. But in reality, it's that cold chain. They need to stay cold and dormant. So ours come in, they stay cold and dormant. You can pick them up in Perm at our warehouse. When you're ready, you just give us a call. So if you don't want them until, you know, May 20th, or if you want them, you know, April 2nd, depending on the spring, you can come pick them up. Or we use speedy shipping, which normally is overnight. And then we'll pack them and make sure they stay cold. And then you'll get them the next day via Speedy. And it's very, very fast and very cost-effective way to get them to growers. So, and we do anything from our strawberries or bundles of 25 up to many, many thousands. You know, we have some that want, you know, 25, 30,000 plants. So whatever, whatever your needs are on those plants, we can get them for you.
That's awesome. And Chris, curious, you know, we're coming up on, I'll call it off season, but is there really ever an off season? What do you guys do during downtime, during down season here?
I don't
up?
Think
well,
she has one.
Yeah, right. I get that question a lot, especially from little kids at the corn maze and when they come out for their field trips and stuff.
Did she just call
the
me a little kid?
The biggest question I get is,
I thought
well,
so.
Well, you're a kid at heart, right?
It's okay, Chris, it's fine. I back you.
A lot of people ask, you know, they're like, oh, you're driving the tractor, you know, because I'm a girl. And so and I'm like, yes, you know, I'm the farmer. This is what I like. I'm farming full time here. Right. And anyways, the second part, you know, what do you guys do all winter? Well, this plant business really tied into our kind of off season. So it fit perfectly because I really, in reality, we probably should have started working on updating our website and the catalog like 2 weeks ago, but you know, we're still busy, but so that's a wintertime project. And then I tend to do all of like my website updates, any newsletters, print material that we're going to need for next summer. I try to update that now and have it ready so that when we need it, it's on my computer and I can just hit go because we are so busy once the snow melts. You don't really have time to be sitting at your desk monkeying around with stuff. So, you know, and then besides that, taxes and all, you know, bookwork, employee stuff, like there's, you know, there's always things to do. Granted, you know, it's probably closer to 15 to 20 hours a week in the winter as opposed to, you know, what seems like 1,000 hours a week in the summer.
But exactly.
Hey, Chris, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, our website, we're kind of all over the internet now, but our website is otterberryfarm.com. That's probably the best way. At the bottom, there's a contact form. We do have a phone line that you can call for information on stuff if you want info. But basically our website, if you do Facebook, we're on there at Otterberry Farm. If you Google us, Otterberry, or you Google Strawberry Farm near me, normally we pop up right away because, like I said, there aren't a whole bunch of us around anymore. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to bringing my son out there next spring, early summer. He would get a kick out of this.
Well, when my strawberry crop doesn't do well, I'm going to Chris's house to get
right.
Yeah, we have stuff for all ages, and that's what I tell folks. Like, it, you know, all ages are welcome at the farm, and there's something for young and old. And I mean, it's just, it's been really cool, you know, growing up in agriculture. And then I feel like there's so many folks, you know, like my age had a grandparent or somebody or uncle or somebody that was farming, and you don't find that anymore. People are so much further removed from agriculture. And so to be able to open our farm up and let people come out and, you know, we have farm animals that they can see and pet and, you know, tractor rides and just stuff that we take for granted because we grew up in ag. But a lot of these people don't, they don't have anybody that they can talk to anymore that actually is in agriculture. So I think it's super important to, you know, be able to let the community come out and see what we do and taste the strawberries and get lost in a cornfield. And, you know, it's good core memories.
All right. And Chris, we just got a last minute phone call here from Tom. Tom's got a question for you. Go ahead, Tom. What's your question for Chris?
Yeah, just real quick. Are you on Farm Direct Minnesota?
I think we are. Farm Direct Minnesota, I think so. We're on quite a few different platforms, but I think we are.
Okay, that's huge because that's thousands and thousands of people are on that, and they're always looking for stuff, and I've gotten a lot of stuff from there. So I just happened to think of that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
You know what? Thank you for that. I'm going to jot that down, too, and double-check just in case. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks. Chris, thanks for taking the time to spend with us today. We really appreciate it. Don't go anywhere. We still have to do the weather and maybe a headline or two before the end of the hour.
All right.
Okay, be right back.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds left for a quick recap in weather. We're seeing some light rain now spread into the 94 corridor. Some heavier pockets down around Lisbon where there might be a little bit of wet snow mixed in. And look for this rain to continue to push northward. Again, not a lot of rain. And don't be surprised to see a few wet snowflakes mix in. So that'll do it for Bridget and myself. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in North America. This is expanded now. Number one show in North America. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.